Not long ago, I came upon an article written by someone. I'd come upon it years ago, but I happened to come upon it again, and the message struck me. It was written by someone who had nearly died in a hospital, but through the help of friends who came and visited regularly, she came through it. And here's what she said. This is the reading for this morning. I tell you that I would have died but for the friendships. The doctors had just about given up. Forget it for having any will to live. I can't begin to describe the despair. Beyond the relentless physical pain, there was this utter emptiness of heart and soul. Each morning felt like waking up in hell. Can you understand that? Every morning feeling that way like it was the first time. And yet people came and called and cared and stayed. And each gesture came to feel almost miraculous to me. And there were moments when I would say, you just don't know what this means to me. And they didn't. They couldn't or wouldn't. Isn't that wild? They really didn't see it. They really didn't recognize just how much their ordinary expressions of love would do for me. On the one hand, I thought it was wonderful that they wouldn't make a big deal out of something that seemed so simple for them, just showing up. But on the other hand, I wanted to shake them and say, do you know how beautiful you are? Won't you see? As if they were angels who had forgotten. After reading this, I couldn't get the idea out of my mind. Not just the fact that ordinary people sometimes do wonderful things without realizing it, but that, as this woman puts it, it's as if they were angels who had forgotten. What an interesting concept, that human beings are actually angels who don't realize it. It's similar to the Hindu teaching that we are all divine at heart. We are God unfolding itself into the world, or as the Hindu reading we had, we're walking over gold every day, we just don't know it. Or the Buddhist concept that we are all bodhisattvas, we're all Buddhas to be, we're beings on the road to enlightenment, only we live in ignorance of our true nature. And if all that sounds a little too mystical or esoteric, don't worry, I'm not going to talk about theologies and creedal formulations. It's actually something a lot more ordinary than that. And at the same time, it may be more profound. It's the idea that there is something precious in us and in those around us that ordinary words don't always seem to be able to express. So we search for words like miraculous or magical or overwhelmingly beautiful. And what makes this experience especially fascinating to me is that it is often very ordinary. I mean, the people who visited this woman, who held her hand, gave her a hug, talked to her, listened to her, they were doing what probably seemed to them to be very minor things. Nice, but ordinary acts of no particular significance. And yet to the person who needed what they had to give, needed it in a way beyond asking, it was nothing less than a miracle. Now, I have always believed in this theoretically. After all, it's what we say in our UU principles. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, which is, I notice, is written on the side here. When you come in, you can see all the principles out there. And that's just another way of saying everyone has a light inside. Everyone is precious. But this woman who described her hospital encounters with angels actually experienced this thing that we talk about in theology and poetry without always realizing at a gut level what it is. And before I go into a few other examples let me just say something about the word angel. Now, we think of an angel. We think of an angel, and this is my low-tech stuff, all right, visual aids. We think of an angel as a supernatural being, but actually the word comes from the Greek, angelos, which means messenger. That's what it meant. Now, it eventually came to mean God's messengers, but originally it was just any kind of messenger. And if you take And the word for message itself was evangelion, or evangelion. And if you put the Greek word for you in front, you, E-U or E-V, means good, like euphemism, lots of words that have that start with E-U. If you put that together, you get evangelion, good news. So if you ever heard of evangelicals, actually it means, in the gospel, the word for gospel was evangelion, good news. In English, we actually have a remnant of this. When they tried to translate this into English, the early forms of English, the word for good was gut, and for message was spiel. So good spiel, a good message, or Godspell, was shortened then to gospel. I mention those things as I just have been told that you're also very picky about words and want to, you care about all the theological concepts, etc. But anyway, maybe not. All right. Anyway, here are a few examples I've picked somewhat at random from files that I keep on interesting but mundane experiences. And what they all have in common is that they're all about surprising messengers of the holy. The first one is from the Reverend Elizabeth Tarbox, a UU minister from Middleborough, Massachusetts, who described a very simple experience she had. And it was an experience that put her in touch with something much bigger than she thought she would. She wrote, "Out walking one morning, I saw a medium-sized turtle begin the dangerous journey across Route 58 from one side of Monpasset Pond to the other. The traffic is pretty heavy, even at 6 a.m. As the turtle left the safety of the grasses at the roadside, I looked right and could see a line of cars coming, led by a Harley Davidson, ridden by a leather-clad figure in a Darth Vader helmet. Now, the turtle was almost at the halfway point, destined for extinction beneath those burning wheels. I moved a few paces into the road and simply pointed to the turtle. The motorcyclist slowed. The rider brought his gleaming bike to a stop, and he put out his arms to indicate to the cars behind him that they should not overtake. And he allowed the turtle to cross in safety. And then he and I signaled a greeting to each other and went on our ways. The turtle, the motorcyclist, and I were on different journeys that day, and mine was a journey of discovery. I discovered that compassion sometimes wears a motorcycle helmet. I went to a place inside me that fears bikers, and I made a few corrections. I don't know what kind of day the turtle had, or the person on the Harley, but my day was better for having encountered them." I like this story because, well, the turtle probably didn't know anything special that happened. The motorcyclist might not have even thought anything special happened either. He may have just thought, "Oh, I'm glad that lady pointed out the turtle. I wouldn't want to run over it," and thought nothing more of it. The drivers behind the motorcyclist may not have thought anything special happened either. They may not have even seen the turtle and just thought there was some problem ahead. We don't know what any of the other people thought. They may have felt awe at the saving of a turtle's life, or they may have gone through with no particular feeling. All we know is that this minister felt something. She saw something she didn't expect. She came away a little changed. She learned that angels sometimes wear motorcycle helmets. And here's another one I found, again, from my file for interesting but mundane experiences. It was a letter to an advice columnist. It's from 1995. You can tell it's old because it was written to Ann Landers. Any of you old enough to have ever read Ann Landers? Okay, some of you are. All right. Anyway. "Dear Ann Landers, I want to thank an anonymous couple that I met briefly at the Indianapolis airport during a trip to Kokomo last March. I had flown to Indiana for a job interview and was wearing very casual clothing. When I arrived, my garment bag with my two best suits, dress shirts, shoes, and toiletries did not. Lost luggage is stressful enough, Expensive clothing and a job interview early the next morning is terrifying. The airline personnel were quite indifferent. I was frantic. A well-dressed couple I had never met overheard the conversation. The gentleman asked me what size suit I wore and offered to loan me his. His suit was one size larger than mine, but it was better than what I was wearing. I was speechless. Just as I was leaving the airport, a representative of the airline ran after me to announce that my luggage had been found. And this incredibly kind couple should know that their offer lifted my morale immeasurably. By the way, I got the job. What I like about this story is that, again, I'll bet the man who offered to loan his suit did not think he was making a supreme sacrifice. He probably thought it was common decency. And the thing is, he didn't even end up loaning his suit because the airlines found the garment bag in time. But it didn't matter. The fact that he was willing to loan it was what made the difference. The other day, as I was shopping, I like to go to thrift stores and things, and Craig was going to be gone. I thought, I'll do the things I like to do that I know he hates. And anyway, one of them was a dollar store, and the woman in front of me was buying several things, and she said, oh, I don't have enough money. You better put this one back. And I said, I'll pay for it. And it was, you know, it was just like $3 or something, and she said, oh, no, that's okay. And I said, no, you can just pay it forward, then do it for someone else. Well, she said, thank you. And then she noticed she did have extra dollars. So I didn't get to give her the money. But again, it didn't matter. We both felt kind of nice that there's someone out there, a stranger, that might actually be kind. You know, many of us have had experiences where someone did something dramatic, something extraordinary like saving a life or making a great sacrifice or giving an extremely generous donation to an important cause. Or perhaps we've been the one doing the dramatic thing. In cases like that, words like hero, savior, humanitarian, courageous come readily to mind. But an angel who has forgotten is someone who has done something significant without knowing it, which means it must have seemed like a very ordinary thing, no big deal, except to the person who witnessed it. I suspect most of us have had an experience like this. I know I have. In the early days of my ministry in Racine, so this would be 42 and a half years ago, I believe it may have been in the fall, actually, of 1978, our church board had a retreat, and a number of board members told me some things that I really wasn't ready for, things I found very painful to hear. But as they were speaking, someone behind me, another member of the board, gently put her hand on my shoulder. Didn't say anything, didn't squeeze it, just laid her hand there as if to say, I know this is hard, but there's love here. You'll be okay. I don't think she knew what it meant to me at the time. She probably didn't even think about it beforehand. It just came out of her like a light bird that comes to rest on your shoulder for a moment. And then a couple of days later, I got a card from another member of the board who just said, keep on trucking, you know. Just meant, these little things meant a lot. Another experience like this that I remember is a conversation I had with a group of Unitarian Universalist ministers and their spouses. This was about 25 years ago. We were introducing ourselves, and one woman referred to her husband as her partner. Now, my first thought was, oh, they must not be married. She would have called him her husband, so they must be just living together. But it turned out they were married. She referred to her husband as her partner because she was aware that gay people didn't get to refer to their partners as husbands or wives, at least legally. And she wanted to, at that time, and that was true, and she wanted to even the playing field a bit. It was as if she was saying, my relationship, though maybe society recognizes it as legal, is no more important than yours. So I will refer to my husband with the same language you use until we can all use it. Such a small thing, but so powerfully affirming. And a little later that day, I said something to the effect that I was always so grateful to be at UU gatherings where my relationship was considered as valid as anyone's. This is one of the things Craig and I have enjoyed about going to UUA General Assembly, and they would have a dance, and we could dance. The only place we could do that anywhere else would be at a gay bar, and which we didn't go to anymore. Anyway, so I mentioned to this group of UU ministers, I was so grateful that to be at a gathering where my relationship was considered as valid as anyone's. And this same woman said something else that I'll never forget. She said, "You shouldn't have to be grateful. It's what everyone deserves." And I thought, you're right. I shouldn't have to be grateful, but I am. And I'm even more grateful for the fact that you realize I shouldn't have to be. You sometimes have no idea what it means to have you think it's no big deal. That in itself is a big deal. You act as if it is not a great blessing you have given, but that's part of what makes it a great blessing. Now, this next experience or story is a kind of life and death story, but again, the angel here probably didn't know he was one. In 1944, during World War II in France, there was a deportation train carrying members of the French resistance to a concentration camp. A few passengers were able to jump off and survive, even though it was moving very fast. One of them was badly hurt, but a farmer found him and took him to his farm where he let him stay until the end of the war. Now, this was a very dangerous thing for the farmer to do, especially since this particular resistance fighter was Jewish, and the farmer and his family could be sent away or even be killed themselves for harboring a refugee. But he and his family did it anyway. Many years later, the man that they had saved became a social worker and did a lot of work with children. And since he remained a very religious Jew, some children asked him once about a question they had. They said, "What is an angel? We don't understand what an angel is because we've never seen one." And this man, thinking of the farmer who saved his life, said, "An angel is someone who, just when you think all is lost, when you think no one will ever help you, that nothing is possible, all of a sudden, an angel is there to help."